Welcome to another episode of the Politatine Podcast. You are currently listening to the one-hour segment of our podcast. To listen and watch the full conversation, head over to politatine.com and click the Watch tab in the top right. If that's not your thing, we appreciate you and hope that you enjoy the episode. And we're rolling. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Politatine Podcast. My name is Damon Galvin, and as always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Varun.
Hello, everybody. My name is Varun Kadathala, back again for another amazing episode of Politatine with another amazing guest on our podcast, Zach Bornstein. We had him on a couple of months ago for a podcast, which lasted a very short amount of time. We'll explain that a little bit later. But Zach is a film director, a writer, a stand-up comedian, an actor, really a jack of all trades. And we met him through Twitter. We saw his tweets. He has a very funny personality on the platform. We laugh at his tweets all the time. And so you're an inspiration to us. We love how you bring comedy into politics and help bring a lighthearted atmosphere into the political atmosphere, which really right now is very, very partisan, as we'll talk about in the podcast today. But how you doing, Zach?
I'm good. Thank you very much. That's so nice of you guys.
Yeah, last time you were here, we ended the call because your car got towed. How did that situation play out?
It was we were like 5 minutes in, and I got a call from a friend. I ignored it. I got a call from him again. I was like, I'm on a why is he bothering me? I'm on a podcast, and then he called four times. I was like, okay, this is an emergency. And he goes, Zach, I'm right outside your place. Your car is getting towed, and it was because. Apparently, without informing the city, Garcetti just decided to, the mayor of LA decided to start enforcing street cleaning once, just like out of the blue one day. And my car had been there for like three. If your car is in one place, I didn't mean to come on your podcast and just complain about LA City parking.
No, go for it.
Apparently, car is in one place for 3 days in a row, they can just tow it. They can just take it without telling you. And then if you don't come pick it up within a month, they just auction it off. And this is during COVID when everyone's supposed to be stuck inside at home. I promise I've never complained about parking on a podcast before, but it was just I just felt like such a jerk that I had to run out from you guys in the middle of it. But
no, it made for a good story. I think it makes this conversation better. This time. Yeah. and then last time you were on too, I mean, there wasn't even half the stuff that's going on now.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. Better, we didn't know who won time. The election yet.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and millions of Americans still don't know who won the election, and that's
don't
part
accept
of why,
it at least.
Accepted at least. I mean, people know, but since then, like Damien was saying, Joe Biden was, you know, really elected the president of the United States. Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff gave Democrats the Senate, which is hooray for that. But the same day it happened, the Capitol got sieged. And so it's been a flurry of events, positive and negative, since then. And I just hope we can get through this curve of constant news, just normalcy. Like, can we talk about just how good a normal day would be without like constant back and forth news? Like just a normal day in the presidency on CNN without any big headlines. It sounds like
it would be bad for us.
Far-fetched idea.
It would be bad for our business.
I just remember being able to like. During like Obama's term and stuff, just like not know all the amendments, like are just like not have to like know how the government works. It's like shit's bad because I'm having to like Wikipedia stuff every 10 minutes. Like, okay, what's a statute that like the president orders a mob to hang the vice president? It violates this law. It's nice not having to, you know, at least if they were doing evil stuff, they're a little more secretive about it. It's like it's tough to keep up with all of it.
Yeah, definitely. I remember like when Obama was president, my mom bought me a book that was the 25th Amendment. I've always been into like legal stuff, but my mom bought me a book that was the 25th Amendment. I was like, Mom, I don't need this. Like, why am I ever going to read about the 25th Amendment? It's like 4 years later. I mean, she was on to something. She's just like reading the waves.
I forget what it was, but I think something like 6 months ago, I remember people were pulling out the Third Amendment because like Trump was trying to like quarter soldiers during the BLM protest in a hotel. Like they were
really?
Trying to have wow. like they were trying to have put National Guard into, I think, a hotel or something. The hotel said that's a violation of the Third Amendment, which doesn't get to come out very much.
No, right. No. I never thought it'd be one. Used. Because my teacher's always like, Third Amendment's basically irrelevant. In
we can skip over that one.
Back then.
Yeah.
We can skip over, but I guess we can't with this president, which is really indicative of what the past 4 years have been, not skipping over anything, any legal precedent. You know, to be honest with you, me and Damien have both learned a lot in terms of being legal scholars and legal students, learned a lot about common law, case law, just with Trump coming in and having to discuss impeachment and things like that twice now. And so talking about the impeachment trial, what do you think about the proceeding and if Democrats can really succeed in impeachment and removal?
I mean, they should. Like, it's just crazy that he's still in there. It's been, I don't know when this comes out, but it's been five days since he ordered a mob to kill a bunch of congresspeople. And yeah, he's still the president. He's still got the nuclear codes. He's still in control of the army. Like, it's just like, it's psychotic that this didn't happen way sooner. And also that they just haven't been impeaching him for other, like, there's a new felony every week and a new impeachable felony every week. So just the fact that it had to get to this point for them to do it again is wild.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. I was, I do like the Twitch streams and whatnot. And I had some guy like last night just like freaking out about how like they had Nancy Pelosi's laptop and how like there was going to be like government blackouts. And he was like, yeah, that's why Nancy Pelosi wants to invoke the 25th. And I was like, you think she wants it? Like, is that like a find my iPhone for laptops? Like, if you just invoke the 25th as a government official, it just comes back to you. And he was getting
like a boomerang.
Yeah, he was getting so pissed off. But right now is like the best time and the worst time to go into political commentary. Like, I'm figuring that out because you're learning a ton, but you're lost like 90% of the time. And people want you to like comment on stuff that like isn't even in headlines like most of the time because there's so much stuff going on. But something that I thought was really funny, and I know I saw some of your tweets about it, was the guy that stole the podium.
Mm-hmm.
And like how much of like just a genuine like meme format that was. But like that was in our Capitol. Like that actually happened. Like it seemed like a skit off of SNL.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just the pure joy on his face. And like it was an objectively a funny photograph. Like that guy was committing a felony. And he just like waving to the camera like he was like, you know, leaving his wedding. Like it was just like having the time of his life. Honestly, he deserved that podium, you know. Have fun with it. I'm glad he's in custody.
He tried selling it on eBay too.
Did he?
Yeah, I believe.
Yeah,
it may have been a meme, but I think I saw that somewhere.
No, there was some reports of it too. Like, I don't know. Yeah, again, literally. I'm not gonna say the validity of it, but like there was definitely a meme made out of the podium thing.
A lot of stuff
it's
can
just
be
wild
meme.
That these
a lot of news.
Sorry, what was that?
A lot of news can be meme now, and I wouldn't know it, to be honest with you. I would see a headline and be like, is that a meme? And I'd just be wrong. Well, go ahead, Zach.
Oh, it was just wild that these people thought that they could, you know, commit what would be considered an act of war and like try and like murder a bunch of elected officials and then just fly home on Delta and like go back to work. After like stealing a podium, like I don't know how, like they didn't think it through to the end. And that guy thought he would probably steal that podium, get some funny selfies, and then just like go back to his job.
Yeah, did you see that the guy that was like on Nancy Pelosi's desk like tried shaving off his beard so that the FBI like wouldn't find him? He was like 1,000% sure that would work.
Painful ordeal, Damien. Like shaving off a whole beard, man.
Think about that.
He got like a nose, the glasses with the nose attached. You know, there's no way they are gonna find it.
Speaking of flying back from on Delta from the Capitol building, Lindsey Graham couldn't fly back. Mitt Romney couldn't fly back. They were getting calls of, you know, and traitorous people, seditionists, and it was incredible because those are the ones protecting the Constitution. And during Trump's speech, he was like, you know, it's more courageous to be a person who defends the election and stands for Joe Biden's victory than it is to be not. And I guess he was right because Trump supporters are going at them like dogs. And it is incredible, incredible. And it's saddening because this is our election. This is our democracy. And the fact that 70 million people or more don't believe in it or are disillusioned to not believe in it is incredible. And I think that one of the issues that I've always had a hard time conceiving is the fact that even after Trump goes out of office, say, what is it, nine days from now, Joe Biden becomes inaugurated. He's still going to be in the waves, right? He's still going to have his own spotlight on channels. I compare it to InfoWars with Alex Jones. Alex Jones got banned from Twitch, YouTube, social media and everything, but he still gets millions of people on his channel who believe in his conspiracy theories about 9/11 and Sandy Hook being orchestrated by Democrats. And so I think that it's a hard, you know, it's a hard ask conceiving the fact that Trump's still going to be in the waves, still going to be widely respected by so many people after the election. So what specifically can Nancy Pelosi, can Democrats in Congress and out of Congress do to kind of hinder Trump's influence after he leaves office, do you think?
I mean, it's a great question. I've got no idea. It yeah. seems like this isn't the kind of guy who's going to like go quietly into the night and start like doing watercolors after his war crimes, like George W. Bush. Like he's going to like be so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
And he's going to start his own news network, his own media company. He's going to, you know, and then the trials are going to come and you got to watch those. That's going to be primetime TV. You can't miss a good trial. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's going to be hard to get rid of him. The like one, you know, the one potentially saving grace is you do see like on his, for the first time in pretty much his whole presidency, his approval ratings are like going, dropping through the floor, which, you know, even when he was getting impeached, even when he was, you know, even when there was all the Access Hollywood stuff, throughout all of his scandals, his approval rating is flatlined. There's never been a president like that before, where it's just like always at 40% no matter what. In every other presidency, it goes up if you do something good, it goes down if you do something bad, but this is just like flatline. And so my only hope is that it seems to be dipping pretty drastically for the first time.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I don't know how you would get him to shut up. Like, he's done so many bad things. And like, I know that like conservatives are genuinely concerned about him being like banned off of Twitter. I was talking to Varun before, and I was again like on my live stream last night. There was like, you know, these people freaking out about like the freedom of speech not being you know, like getting disavowed and like just thrown out the window for conservatives. And it was Charlie Kirk that was like crying on Fox News about how like his free, like how he's being oppressed by the media. And I'm like, dude, you're on the biggest talk show like in America talking about how like your voice is being suppressed. And like the irony,
Devin Nunes was saying that there's no way for Republicans to communicate anymore on TV.
Yeah. No. And then like the other thing is, like, QAnon started through Facebook, and like all these, like, I don't know. They always said that big tech was against conservatives. But like, from my understanding of it, especially Facebook, and I mean, Twitter got popular, like, I'm not going to say just because of Donald Trump, but like, he definitely had a big part in Twitter, like, revival and like it becoming the main media source. What do you think is going to be, like, as a comedian, what's going to be the loss here? Because I don't think that we can deny, obviously, like, for democracy, Donald Trump is bad. But, like, comedy-wise, and like, he was hilarious. The one thing that I will always give him is that he was funny.
He was funny. I think people always ask me that of, like, well, you know, you guys won't have any material anymore. I'm like, thank fucking God. Like, I would rather, like be, like, trying to come up with jokes about pants again or breakfast or whatever, like, you know, things we used to be allowed to talk about than not, like, be, like, constantly having to like about to hide in my attic for 3 months. Like, I cannot wait to talk about something else. And I'm worried, even once his like heart explodes from snorting Adderall every day, that we're still gonna be having to fucking talk about him, just because he's gonna be in, like, there's gonna be movies and books, and there's gonna be, you know, in like history books and people analyzing what went wrong. And this is even if things go well. Mm-hmm. This is if, you know, things vaguely go back to normal, which, you know, it seems like 40% of the country is still just like on the Nazi train. So it's, you don't even know if things are, you know, quote unquote, going back to normal.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a person wearing a Camp Auschwitz t-shirt. Speak of Nazi. It was insane at the Capitol protest / riot. You know, it was incredible seeing that. And you talked about just how, you know, we're not going to have that much comedy content, both of you guys kind of. And I thought of Ted Cruz immediately, because Ted Cruz has been one of the most vehement advocates for, I guess, the Stop the Steal campaign and the campaign to not make Joe Biden legitimate president or so. And so I thought of and Damien was mentioning the cow made of butter tweet from Ted Cruz a long time ago, where he posted a picture of himself in front of a butter cow. And it was like, it was incredible on Twitter. And so that was a funny thing. But I think in terms of hypocrisy, what I've been hitting at a lot on the podcast with Damien was the fact that a lot of Republicans right now, like you mentioned Devin Nunes and Charlie Kirk on channels, and there's a lot of conservatives on channels talking about police brutality. Now that a Trump supporter died in the Capitol and was shot in the Capitol after breaching it. And so I just think that it's a really big hypocrisy when you talk about back the blue all summer, police brutality doesn't exist all summer, and then you come out and a Trump supporter gets killed, and you say, well let's retract that and let's say that police brutality does exist only against white people, right? And that's the point. I think there's hypocrisy coming from both sides, but I think that upon the point that we kind of hit at before, just about how we take out Trump from the airwaves. The bigger thing that I wanted to ask you about, and it may be something that you may be familiar with on Twitter and these mainstream social media platforms, like Truth Decay, right? The fact that we have channels, right wing and left wing both, mostly right wing at this point, which blurt out conspiracy theories in broad daylight. How do we as people, and how are we expected to crack down upon truth decay, especially on social media? And how can social media platforms themselves kind of just crack down upon violence and threats? Is that okay, or is it an overstep?
That's another great question I'm not qualified to answer. But these are only great questions for someone who actually knows what they're talking about. But I think there's something that we haven't quite grappled with, like regulating media right now, mm-hmm. as like, because big, like, I obviously Trump should have been deplatformed on all these things, but it is scary that big tech companies can just kind of like disappear someone from the internet in a way.
Yeah.
And if you weren't, you know, a senator, congressperson, president, if it was just one of us, I wouldn't have a way to say anything to the world, which used to be, I guess, how it was for everyone. You know, no one had access to this. You had to kind of come up however you want. But so I don't know what the answer is to that, but it's a separate problem that tech companies are too powerful that, you know, but Trump obviously should have been taken off for telling people to murder other people.
Yeah.
The other thing, I forget who said it, but I saw someone on Twitter just saying politicians shouldn't be allowed on social media because it's pretty much just like 24/7 free propaganda networks. It's like you have a state-sponsored TV with no, with nothing, like, if like to put something on TV, it has to go through certain, you know, standards, and it has to go through, you know, different lawyers and the FCC and things like that. But to go on social media, you can just shit out whatever conspiracy theory or lie you want. So there's just, it's like, it's the Wild West. So I forget who was saying it, but I do think it's interesting to just say like politics shouldn't be allowed on social media at all, or it should be like something just way more regulated, kind of like you have with the FCC, or I don't know. It's the Wild West right now. And I don't know how you stop, how you, yeah. you know, tamp it down at all.
It's just, it's like unprecedented is the word like of the decade, I think. Like I just think that it should have been the word of the last decade, and I'm interested to seeing what happens, with this whole campaign, with Joe Biden, with the new administration and whatnot. I feel like, you know, someone was talking to me and they were like, I can't wait to buy like a history book in 50 years, and like laugh about this stuff or like remember it. And I was like, dude, I don't want to read history in 50 years. Like, once I'm done with like political commentary, if I get to 30 and like I made it in this like in this realm of just talking about politics, like once I'm retired, I'm done. Like, if you bring up politics to me, like I'm leaving. Like, there's no, I've only been doing this for like half a year, and it's like taxing. it's so taxing to just be talking about politics all day. And yeah. The thing is, like, it's kind of like splurred out into all different realms, kind of how you're talking about. Like, now it's on social media, like it's in like comedy shows. Like, literally, if you watch it, most stand-up, it will have now like some reference of politics. Who was the man? I always forget his name. The Australian guy that does the bit on gun control. I can't remember his name, but like there's literally a whole trend on TikTok right now that was like, what's your favorite comedian's or like favorite comedian's political take? So I guess I'll ask you that. What's your favorite comedian's best political take, or your favorite political take from a comedian? There you go.
I mean, there's too many right now. I think it's like what you're saying. It's like, it didn't used to be that every late night show was about politics. Mm-hmm. Like they used to talk about other things. And I know they do a little bit now, but it used to be like news wasn't always politics. News was like, oh, some lady got her leg bit off in Florida because she was like dipping her toddler into a swamp or something. And that was news. And now news just means politics just because it's so much swallowed our lives. And also to not talk about it is a weird sort of form of complacency, because there's so much evil going on that you have to talk about it, or else you're kind of like, you're also part of the problem. But that it's not what, you know, if you listen to Leno and Letterman and Conan and, you know, I'm a bit older than you guys. When I was growing up, you know, it wasn't like, you know, a quote by quote breakdown of every speech that Clinton was giving. If something happened in politics, it was like a big deal for people. It had to be like, you know, the Monica Lewinsky impeachment trial for the late night shows to talk about it. It wasn't like, you know, oh, the labor secretary did this today and we have to talk about the labor secretary, because that's, you know, people just didn't care as much. Or maybe they did and I was just a child and so I just wasn't aware of it.
I think it's definitely a point that news networks benefited off of, the fact that Trump got elected, because now they have 24/7 content. And I've been watching, you know, watching news and having watched news channels. I've been watching news a lot recently with the whole Capitol situation. Like, I've been up till what, to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, glued to New York Times and CNN. And so there's an audience for these things. But I think that in terms of mentally taxing, I like what you do with politics on Twitter, because it evokes some laughs within me. And I think that, you know, laughs are needed in how mentally taxing politics is today, and making that reference and making jokes about politics. We had Blair Erskine, another big Twitter person, on our podcast early on in our lifeline lifetime, of the podcast. Yeah. And then so she talked about how she kind of connected just comedy and politics, and how that kind of brought some lighthearted atmosphere into what we were talking about. So what do you think is the place for comedy in politics, and can that expand as we grow?
I mean, I think it's very helpful for framing things in a way that's actually digestible, because it's just so fucking scary. Like, it's like, you know, we're having fun making fun of these people, but we were seconds away from seeing like hangings on live television of like sitting Congress people. And like, there's just so much scary shit in politics right now, like with global warming and all the camps on the border and just like everything going on abroad. And just like, even in America, just like how many people are starving in this country and that the government should be helping them is not. And I think if you just think about it, you just go insane. And just having ways to frame it through a comedic lens at least makes it so that you can like keep your sanity about it and kind of like have some sort of point of view that, you know, you're not just like in the fetal position all day just rocking back and forth.
Definitely. Right. I had one more follow-up about that, and just, you know combining comedy with politics. You did, I believe, a paper or a research study on how the neural basis of laughter, that's what the study was about, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, kind of. I was it was a proposed research project when I was, I used to work in neuroscience before comedy, and I was setting up this project in the lab that was going to try to find they call it mirth in literature. It's like the brain activity that leads to laughter, of like, what does laughter look like in the brain? Because it's such a weird behavior. Uh-huh. Like, you know, when something's weird in the world, you like bare your teeth and like put your head back and you go, ha ha ha, ha. You like bark into the air. It's like an insane activity. Like, if you saw an animal doing that, you'd be like, that animal's brain dead. Like, what's wrong with that creature? Yeah. And so like, and it's like so weird also laughter, how social it is, that like, if you watch a movie by yourself that's funny, you're not going to laugh nearly as much as if you are in a movie theater with other people who are also laughing, or if you hear a laugh track, or, you know, someone's tickling you, you're laughing, that's the same output, but the input is very unpleasant. So why are you laughing? So it's just such a fascinating behavior that we don't understand at all. Like, they don't even have a good theory about it. Like, there's like every few years is like, oh, that, yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense. But there's no, you know, kind of like consciousness. It's just like, there's no like very satisfying behavioral theory for it yet.
How do you make the jump from like being in I guess neuroscience to comedy? I've always been very interested in comedy. I thought it was an interesting jump, because I always think about, you know, politics and comedy and just things that like aren't supposed to mesh. But like, how do you make the jump from neuroscience to comedy?
Just by disappointing my mom really hard. Just making my Jewish mother very upset. That was the big, I mean, I was always doing comedy at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, I studied neuroscience in college, and then at the same time was, you know, in a sketch group and a stand-up group and making, you know, doing like film festival, like short films and stuff like that. And so while I was working on developing some of this, I also was making like YouTube sketches and had this group that was doing live shows in New York. And we got like a New York Times blurb, and then, you know, some of the videos were going viral. And then at one point Jimmy Kimmel just reached out to me on Twitter. He just slid into my DMs, and then my my comedy career kind of went from there.
That's crazy.
And then I just never ended up going back.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Just saying that Jimmy Kimmel slid into your DMs is insane.
It was at first, but it was he just is, you know, shout out to him. He's just like, he's done that with a few other writers on his show too, that it was just like, he's very good about keeping his finger on the pulse and like being very like, you know, trying to, you know, keep the show very up, you know, modern and up, you know, what kind of new voice, being open to new voices. Yeah. 'Cause I didn't have any connections or anything. I was just a rando.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. I mean, before we go to our break here, I had one question for you that one of our research team individuals kind of had mapped out. And it was about your post earlier this year, I believe, on Vanilla ISIS, comparing Trump supporters and pickup trucks to ISIS, you know, caravans. And so you got a lot of pushback for it on major news channels and Twitter itself.
I did.
Yeah. I was looking at a news article. I might send it to you real quick, but it was basically about how you know, you can't compare ISIS to Trump caravan simply because it is a very far-fetched comparison. I think that they didn't understand that it was comedy. That's where I think they had the disconnect. But we can actually cut back to it after our break, if that's all right with you.
Oh, wow. I got it. I didn't know I got pushback.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, she looked into it and we saw the pushback. But Damien, if you want to cut to a quick ad break, we'll come back with some more information about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Neuroscience, psychology, the cult material, that's kind of what has encompassed a lot of people in this nation, mostly people who, you know, have denied the election outcome and things like that. But I think that, you know, beyond just comedy and non-comedy, people have failed to differentiate, like you're saying, fact and fiction. Like, I saw Trump in his campaign in 2016 talking about a video that Alex Jones posted on InfoWars, which is a conspiracy theorist news network in name. And it was like basically a video of people bringing drugs over the border. And he was talking about how people, and in the exact fashion, how Alex Jones had posted that video and how people were crossing the border. And so it's hard to talk about fact and fiction and how to differentiate when our president can't do the exact same thing. And that it becomes a national security threat by many regards. And so I just think that it's an interesting comparison between those two things going back to social media.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we were living kind of in this, like, I mean, some people call it like a post-truth world of like, just because there's so much information out there, it's like you can kind of pick and choose what facts you need for whatever situation. And like, especially once like deepfake technology gets very good, I was worried that was going to come into play a lot more in this last election. I guess the tech wasn't quite there yet, but I just like, you can say a lot in text and in articles and things like that, but once you actually see people's faces saying things they didn't say, and it's gonna be very hard to differentiate what's real and what's not.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. And I appreciated the kind of take that you had towards like the cults, like people like leaving, like almost leaving a cult, because it's something that I talk about a lot on different platforms. And it's like, we can't just push these people away. Like, we can't just be like, no, you're not, you don't exist. Like, you had a bad take one time and like you stormed the Capitol, like you have to go to jail for like the rest of your life now. Like, you're not American. Like, I keep saying that, hate it or not, first of all, obviously there was a lot of people there at Washington during these raids, but there was a lot more people that wanted to go. Like, I can assure you, every individual here, there's like neighbors that live in your neighborhood that, had they been there, would have stormed the Capitol. And like, there's people that, yeah, exactly, like representatives that you have that would have done the same thing. And people like on your soccer team whose parents probably would have, if not them, like they would have done the same thing. So we got to make sure that like we're just not like pushing these people away. Like, we got to bring them back in a healthy manner.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to say, because there has to be accountability, but there also has to be like a path to like reform for them, because they are still human beings, but they're It's like, I mean, maybe this is too staunch a comparison, but like Nuremberg trials, these, you know, Nazis were committing all these heinous offenses, but they're still human beings. You had to figure out, like, okay, do you send them to prison for the rest of their lives? Obviously they were programmed, but they also committed these atrocities. How do you punish Germany, but also not punish them so bad that you get a World War III?
Yeah.
So it's like all these very tricky questions that, you know, we'll have to start asking again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, Damien mentioned the fact that they would leave when you kind of push them out. And I think that they don't necessarily leave like everything. They go to Parler, right? When you push them out of Twitter, they go to Parler. They go to Gab, and they go to their conservative groups.
What is Gab?
Gab is like, I've been hearing about it on Pod Saves America. It's like a new Parler, because Parler is going to get deactivated in what? It probably already is on the App Store. But Apple had like a 24 hours thing for them. It's off the Google Play Store. So now the new platform is Gab, and it's like unregulated social media. I've been hearing about a platform. Forgot what it was called.
Isn't that like that's the thing that like they just throw child porn on?
Yeah, no, Gab is what they throw child porn on.
I just went to Gab.com and you get an error. It doesn't open. Oh,
well, wow. Good thing it didn't open. You might have gotten
Yeah, I think the Gab was maybe regulated as well. But I mean, beyond Gab, there's also a new Twitch for conservatives as well. I forgot what it was called, but that's where conservatives, and this is real, live streamed when they went into congressmen and congresswomen's offices in the Capitol building and posted on there. And like, it wasn't shut down until like minutes and minutes and minutes into the stream. And so it is just the truth decay is really unreal. But also, I think one of the biggest questions is when you have people going to these platforms and they're going to emerge again, Parler, Gab, unregulated social media. You have people getting out of Twitter and Twitter becoming a liberal stronghold, and you have echo chambers from both the left and the right. I think it creates more hyperpartisanship. In the past 4 years, for example, we've seen so much more hyperpartisanship and centralization of conservatives on Facebook and liberals on Twitter, and that's done a lot. But now it's like complete different, you know, regulation standards, whole different networks that are created for conservatives. Like, I think that partisanship is going to get a lot worse in the next 4 years. And part of what scares me is that Joe Biden's whole promise is to bring the country together, even though you have your differences. And I think his whole promise may be hindered by the fact that social media networks fail to regulate. And so that's just a thought that's been in my mind for quite a while. And we're kind of, you know, hopping off one another on thoughts, but that's something I've been thinking about for a while.
I don't know if Zach, did you see, because Varun, this like kind of came up to my mind. This was something that I thought was just hilarious. Like, I know that we're laughing about stuff that like in history books will like be seen as like the downfall, that like might be the downfall of America. Like literally, like this just might be the point. Like, we're just making jokes about the point in history where it's like, what went wrong? Chapter 14. And, but did you see the Virginia representative that like walked into the Capitol and he was like, Derek Evans is in the house? And yeah, like, he was like live streaming.
No, that was the one on that live streaming platform I was talking about.
Was he on there?
He was the one on there who live streamed himself going into speaker's or some congressman or congresswoman's office and stealing something.
He just like docked all his info. Like, people were making jokes about like how he might as well have just said like where he lives and everything. It's like,
he denies it. He denied it in front of the delegates.
It's so good.
And they got him on video saying Derek Evans is in the house, and he denied him in the house.
They got him on 4K. They got him on 4K.
He put himself on 4K.
Yeah.
So
that's funny. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I think it's the beginning of, I mean, who knows if it's the beginning of the end or a slight bounce back and then the end, or it's just going to be, there's going to be a different world that we go into from this point on. Just in terms of like politically, but also COVID wise, like we're just not like the world that we were in a couple of years ago, like just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, one good thing about COVID is with COVID, everybody's on their phones and social media, like literally 24/7. Like, when I'm at home and not at school and have online learning, I'm on my phone and I have Twitter on a different monitor, and I'm looking at Twitter continuously and scrolling through those things, and it's distracting, but I'm getting so much more news. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like a Twitter presence has been increased. But I want to ask you our final question on the podcast to end out our episode here, as we have a couple of minutes left on the show. We always ask all of our guests this same question. But what is one quote, one saying, it can be from you or somebody else, that kind of sums up what you want to say to America's youth and our listeners?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
People take time with it.
People take a lot of time. So take as much time as you want.
I'm not going to, no matter what words I say, it's going to be bad. Like, it's not going to encapsulate.
Are you going to have like shower thoughts later and you're going to be like, oh, I should have said that instead.
For the next 4 years, every day I'm going to think of a better thing I should have said in this moment. That's so much pressure. Like, what's one sentence you could say that will change the world and unite our country?
Blair said something. She said, let me find Blair's. But she
can I just take Blair's? She's just great.
Blair's was just fucking so. Be cool.
Yeah. It was J.
And
I named the podcast JFBC because I couldn't cuss in the title, and so I just said JFBC, Blair Erskine's message to America's youth. But go ahead.
Can I say my quote is just fucking be cool dash Blair, like just like as
yeah,
if,
there you go.
You know, like
yeah,
the
quote Blair.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott. It's kind of the
I got
you know
you,
the like quote a, tweet. It's just yeah. So good, and I don't know if I'm the I'm gonna think of a good one soon. Blair's you know, brilliant though, so I can
yeah.
I'll piggyback her until I think of something.
And she was auto. It was immediate. Just fucking
God
be cool.
Damn it, she's so good. You guys are just rubbing it in my face that she thought of something perfect immediately.
Just immediately,
Jesus
exactly.
Christ.
Just off the top of her head. You know
burying
what?
My face in my own shit right here.
We can make an ultimatum here. You can like come up with a quote now, or you can just join us later on another podcast episode.
Oh,
and you can just
there
put
we
it
go.
Out there.
Good one, Damien.
Now I'm gonna seem like a jerk either way, because if I say one, it's like I don't want to talk to you guys again.
There you go.
If yep. I don't say there one, it's like I am incapable. God, these catch 22s. You guys are really
you.
Making this hard for me.
We got you.
What about don't be a butt.
Don't be
go.
A butt. Don't be a butt.
Yeah.
So that's our message, guys. We're out. Do not be a butt to every single American child. But really, don't be a butt. You know, listen to the facts. And we're talking about it a lot on this podcast. Listen to the facts and don't get consumed by conspiracy theories, truth decay on social media. Just be smart. Don't be a butt towards others and yourself. And once again, as Damien was saying, embrace those who you don't agree with. Don't threaten hanging. Don't, you know, harass them. Don't be a butt. To be honest with you, and that's
you,
the
you know what I think that I think you just outdid Blair with your quote, like genuinely.
No, it encompassed everything we spoke about. Everything.
Yeah, like absolutely.
Okay.
I
would never want to one up Blair because she's amazing, but I appreciate you guys saying it.
Absolutely. And with that being said, to our listeners, thank you guys so much for joining us for another conversation. To Varun and Zach, thank you guys for adding your perspective on this topic. Like a wide variety of topics here, but on everything that we discussed. If you guys want to see what we're doing, you guys can check us out at politatine.com, or you can follow our social media, both Instagram and Twitter, at Politatine Show. And once again, thank you guys so much for tuning into yet another episode of Politatine. Goodbye. That concludes the hour segment of this podcast. To listen to or watch the remainder of this episode, head over to politatine.com and click the watch tab in the top right. Beyond that, thank you for listening to another episode of Politatine.